Our show is supported by Be My Guest with Ina Garten, Ina's official podcast from Food Network, back for its fourth season. On every episode, Ina invites a different friend to her home in the Hamptons to talk about life, love, and career, all while cooking up an amazing meal. Join Ina as she crafts a classic cocktail with journalist Frank Bruni and discusses the ins and outs of Yorkshire pudding with actress Emily Mortimer. If you're looking for great conversations about and over good food, tune in to Be My Guest with Ina Garten. Listen to Be My Guest with Ina Garten wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, it's Francis Lamb, and this is Splendid Table Select, our mini podcast on the stuff that makes us better cooks and eaters. Have you ever heard the thing about how smell is 70% of flavor? I have no idea how that number actually got worked out, but here's a fun test. Go get yourself a jelly bean. No, seriously, do it. Like, pause the podcast and come back when you got it. All right, now pinch your nose shut and eat the jelly bean with your nose pinched. You're chewing. What flavor is it? Okay, now let go of your nose. Amazing, right? This is where Mandy Aftel comes in. She makes perfume out of natural essential oils, but she's lived behind the legendary restaurant Chez Panisse in Berkeley for years. So a long time ago, she started wondering how she could use her skills and her perfume ingredients in cooking. The writer and producer Jennifer Ait Lee met up with Mandy in San Francisco, and this is what they talked about.
Mandy, it's good to meet you in person. Hello.
Hello.
So your book highlights five sort of landmark flavors. And why did you choose these five?
Well, these five aromas are really almost like a gateway drug, a gateway aroma to certain very deep human appetites that have been with us since kind of the beginning of time with man. And they're very interesting ways that we've had of both bringing aroma into our lives, but also bringing certain kind of emotional states into our lives. And they were very, very important in how we developed. So the first one is cinnamon. And it's all about the spice root and things that are exotic and far away that we can bring home that have those sharp, strange tastes that are very intense, that are used for cooking, but also used for perfume. And cinnamon is kind of my main one, my rock star of the spices. And it's just was so far away and so exotic, and people had such pleasure in bringing it home. And it's very, very interesting how it's fallen now to be a very common spice that people don't, you know, travel the world backwards like Christopher Columbus did to try to get more of it.
Right.
So there's cinnamon. Next one is mint, which kind of stands for herbs, but is all about what's authentic, what's close to home, what's literally underfoot, and also about America. There was a huge mint industry here in America that was completely fascinated. It was rooted in Michigan, and it grew into our toothpaste and gum and things like that. But when you think about mint, mint is the gesture of home and hospitality, and that when someone comes to your house, you give them mints, you give them mint tea. It's how we welcome someone in our lives is through the smell and taste of mint. Frankincense is the next one, and it's about the human appetite for spirituality and transcendence. And it stands for all the resins and all the trees and how important trees are in our spirituality. And frankincense itself has played a huge role in incense. But people also use it for baking and also will just put a chunk of it. It's the lifeblood of the frankincense tree. Put a chunk of it in water and then drink the water. Next is ambergris, which is actually sperm whale poop. Just to get that right out there, sperm whale poop. And it's one of these magical ingredients that relate to our desire and our appetite for curiosity and for wonder and for what's strange, what's animal, what's sensuality. And ambergris has this very interesting history of being used to flavor chocolate. And there's also many old cake recipes that include ambergris and musk. I know it looks odd, but it's this very magical, transformative, ambery, very beautiful, beautiful smell and taste. And the last is jasmine, which is about our appetite for beauty. And of course, many of the flowers are things we grow in our gardens, but also flowers are used to scent tea for desserts. And jasmine has certainly been used in different recipes. So those are the five of them.
And how do you get these flavors into your recipes?
Well, I'm a big fan of using essential oils in cooking, and I find them kind of like magic, practically. It's very special to have something where one drop, which is kind of this consolidation, precious, wonderful essence of something, can change things. So if you have, you know, one drop of cinnamon and you put it in, say, some ice cream or into a teapot with tea, it will just transform that whole thing. You don't need much of an essential oil.
And better than powdered cinnamon.
It's so much better than powdered cinnamon because...
Or cinnamon sticks.
Even cinnamon sticks, because what you usually get when you get cinnamon is cassia. Cassia is a cheaper version of cinnamon. It's not exactly cinnamon. And it tastes and smells more like a Red Hot. It's got that very pointy, aggressive, sharp cinnamon smell, but a really beautiful cinnamon. And you can, when you smell a beautiful cinnamon, you begin to like understand your history and understand the spice route and all these exotic places people went to get these marvelous things. There's always the story that spices were used to preserve meat. And I found that it's completely wrong, that actually meat was cheaper than spices. So that whole idea that that's really what they were doing is wrong. People just liked a more aromatized culture and food, and they were interested in these spices. They were both beautiful and they triggered their imagination. So when you have a very beautiful cinnamon and you smell it anew, it's woody, it's warm, it's balsamic, it's sweet, it's got these layers of smell. It's just delicious.
So I think many people don't realize that you can ingest essential oils. So can we ingest them all? And if we can, where do we get them for cooking?
You definitely cannot ingest them all. There's a list that you can just look up online that's called the GRAS list, G-R-A-S, which is the generally recognized as safe list. It's put out by the FDA. And they have essential oils on that list, so you can look them up. That's the first piece of the question. The second is, if you're going to ingest them, it's good that they're diluted and you use maybe one drop. Like, it isn't something you use a lot of. So you would maybe put one drop in olive oil, or one drop in vinegar, or one drop in soup, or something like that. They need to be diluted. They're very, very strong. They're the essence of the plant. So you want to have an eyedropper, or what some people do is they take a toothpick, and they put the toothpick in the essential oil, and then they take that toothpick, and they stick it into the soup, or the stew, or the salad dressing, or the ice cream, or something like that. So you get a drop, or even less than a drop. And then where you can buy them, you know, a lot of health food stores sell essential oils. And there's a lot of mail order places, which I have a list of in the back of my book. And you can often buy extremely tiny amounts, like equivalent to, say, a quarter of a teaspoon. And you can try lots of different kinds and see, you know, which cinnamon you like the best from where, or which mint. It's very interesting, too. For example, if you get mint oil, which is just divine, and you smell, say, peppermint next to spearmint, you'll realize immediately that people use peppermint a lot for desserts and for drinks, but they don't really use it in savory cooking. But spearmint is both in desserts and drinks, but is also in savory cooking. And it's because of that high quality of menthol. So when you smell it, you become very aware of how interesting and beautiful each one is. So I would experiment and smell lots of things.
Thanks so much for joining me today.
It's really been a pleasure. Thank you.
That was Jennifer Eight-Li with artisan perfumer Mandy Aftel. Mandy's latest book, written with the genius chef Daniel Patterson, is called The Art of Flavor: Practices and Principles for Creating Delicious Food. You can find more information about Mandy and those five power scents at splendidtable.org. And while you're there, check out her recipes for rose and ginger souffle and fragrant raspberry bubbly. And hey, make them for Valentine's Day. That's it for our podcast. Thank you for listening to Splendid Table Selects. You'll find us back in your queue on Friday. And until next time, eat well, drink well, and please tip well. I'm Francis Lam. All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.